With that, it is our honor to invite Sayyid Babahani from Canada, who is going to be speaking tonight to the believers about Imam Baqir alayhi salam, the splitter of knowledge and a paragon of success. We invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. Innahu khayru nasirin wa mu'in. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وحبيب إله العالمين أبا القاسم المصطفى محمد. صلى الله عليه وآله الطيبين الأكرمين معصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وارواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي واغفر ذنوبنا كلها بحرمة محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل. قال الإمام باقر عليه السلام: عندما سئل عن الدنانير والدراهم وما على الناس فيها هي خواتيم الله في أرضه صل على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليكم جميعا. My brothers and sisters, congratulations for the beginning of the month of Rajab, and also for the Vlada of Imam Baqir alayhi salam. About Imam Baqir alayhi salam, it is very nice to start to say that Imam Baqir in his time was one of the last survival of Karbala. Imam Baqir in his childhood had experienced one of the most important events and important resistance in the front of the oppressors. Imam Baqir alayhi salam, during his childhood, had also experienced his father Imam Sajjad going through lots of misery and lots of difficulty after Karbala. Looking at his father's, very briefly, the environment that Imam Baqir had grown up, looking at his father's time, that means Imam Sajjad alayhi salam's time, because of numerous revolution, or you could say rising up against the Umayyads after what happened in Karbala, the government of that time, which is Bani Umayyad's government, start understanding that how people loving this family, how people are ready to give up their life for this family. We have Tawabin, we have Qiyam al-Mukhtar, and many others, that because of those Qiyams, because of those standing up against oppressors movements, there was less pressure time by time on Imam Sajjad. So Imam Sajjad starts doing some amazing job in his time. Before going through this, you have to know, alhamdulillah, for today, we have published one of the very first book that I believe is going to revolutionize the Hawza, inshallah, in future. And we call it Fiqhul Muwaffaqiyya. That means what we have called it in English translation is Success Insights from Quran and Rivayats, or Sunnah. One of the very important subject that we are talking about for human being to attain his ultimate success during his lifetime is to pursue these three important axes of success. And this is what we are telling you. It's all based on rivaya. It's all based on narrations and all verses of Quran. Of course, you know, one of the very important axes and one of the very important elements in order to reach your success is faith, is iman. There's no doubt in that. There's so many verses that you can think of and you know of that talks about the importance of faith. And the faith is actually the most important of these three elements, that the two others start flourishing human capacity within the grounds of faith. The second one is knowledge. Of course, knowledge is very important in order to know the shubahat, in order to not fall for the falsehood. And of course, knowledge is going to be the light of your path towards attaining your ultimate success. But the third one that you might not hear so many often in the Hawza about it is wealth. Wealth is one of the most important axes that the mu'min must reach in order to become the most influential person in society. And of course, we have the narrations that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put mu'minin in trials by going through poverty. This is another subject. But mu'min must do his best in order to gain halal wealth. That he says, at the same narration that we have for ilm, talabul ilm farizatun ala kulli al-mu'minin al-mu'mina, the same narration we have for wealth, talabul rizq farizatun ala kulli mu'minin wal mu'mina. And this is a very important part that I want to more emphasize in today's speech. So we're going to go back to Imam Sajjad. So now you know the three axes of attaining success, the ultimate success of each of one of you as a believer, as a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is iman, knowledge, faith, knowledge, and wealth. Well, if you might ask question, where the wealth come from? One of the ahkam and that you have to attain, many of these ahkam that you have to attain, is giving nafaqa, giving to the charity. One of the others is paying khums. One of the others is paying zakat. How a mu'min could attain a level in order to make these rules of ahkam, in order to realize these rules of ahkam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put as a law for us to achieve, is of course to gaining wealth. If you're not wealthy, you cannot pay nafaqa. If you're not wealthy, you cannot pay khums. If you're not wealthy, you cannot pay zakat. Of course, there is another meaning for zakat, that is for everything there is a zakat, right? For every creation. This is another, another subject that we can open. But let's focus on our subject. So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, as one of the most successful person, he had realized this in his lifetime. Of course, these A'immatul Athar, anything on earth you look and there is a color of faith over them is because of the existence of these A'immatul Athar. Is because of the existence of these 12 infallible 12 ma'sumin. So of course, there is no question of their faith. They had the faith. And not only they had the faith, but they also influencing and encouraging other people to gain and updating or improving their beliefs towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, at the same time, he was working on the second element, which was knowledge. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he had a hawza ilmiya with the system of Rasulullah. He was getting slaves, more than 300, 500, sometimes it's recorded than 1,000 slaves per year, in order to teach them and then release them to become free and preaching Islam. So one of the most important part that Imam Baqir was living and was experiencing during his youth time was looking at his father preparing the ground for him that at his time he's going to become a scholar, that he's going to spread the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt. And of course, the wealth part, Imam Sajjad had put a system in order to gain wealth that he was able to buy these slaves per year. Imagine what kind of wealth Imam Sajjad was, what kind of system Imam Sajjad was put in there in order to produce wealth, that he had this ability to buy 300, 400, 500,000 slaves per year, teach them about the rules and ahkam and akhlaq and everything about Islam, about Quran, and release them and make them go free in order to go and preach Islam. So this is the environment that Imam Baqir was raised. In the time of Imam Baqir, something happened that actually gave more opportunity to Imam Baqir to spread his knowledge, to spread the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt. In the time of Imam Baqir, there was this struggle with the Bani Umayyah in order to stay in power. There was a struggle of Bani Umayyah between Bani Umayyah and Bani Abbas. So they were so occupied about their own difficulties and problems that they were facing within their own government. So Imam Baqir had found this opportunity to start his hawza and a spreading of his knowledge more freely with more and numerous students present, be present in his class. And Imam Baqir alayhi salam started by spreading his knowledge to his time, not only about Islam. There were even non-Muslim people coming in the class of Imam Baqir. There were people that was asking questions about medicine. Asking questions, for example, there is this, I forgot his name, there was this guy that actually questioned Imam Baqir about eyes and had wrote a book about the function of eyes and how the eyes is actually functioning and everything in details. There was even people that they were non-religious, if you want to call them by today terminology, atheists. That's zana. They used to call them zindiqa. These people, they used to come and argue with Imam about science. And Imam Baqir had this opportunity to put forward these classrooms, these teachings, to teach people about everything. And Imam Baqir was doing one of the most important, was actually aiming for one of the most important tasks and responsibility that is on the shoulder of every Muslim and mu'min. And that is basically to paving the ground for the realization of what we call in the ahadith, Amrullah. Amrullah in ahadith, in the narrations, it is about the realization of the government of Allah on earth. So let me read this very beautiful hadith for you with the salawat ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. So Imam Reza alayhi salam, one of the beautiful hadiths is we have from Imam Reza alayhi salam, and you hear it probably from me maybe or from other people a couple of times, is that Imam Reza says, "Laysat al-ibadah kathrat al-siyam was-salat." Ibadat, worshipping, is not about the numerous or abundance of prayer and fasting. Wa innama, It is in much reflection. إِنَّمَا الْعِبَادَةِ كَثْرَةُ التَّفَكُّرُ. It is much about reflection on what? فِي أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. That means on the affairs of Allah. And we have another verse, another riwayah, many riwayah about this Amr. Sometimes it's called Amr Allah, sometimes it's called Amr al Ahl al-Bayt, Amr al-Na. For example, there's another riwayah that Imams, I forgot, one of the Ma'sumin alayhi salam says that may Allah blessing be on that person that actually ihya amrana. That means reviving or basically improving or spreading or basically take a step in order to realize the amrana. What is amrana? Realizing and paving the ground towards the realization of hukuma of a'imma on earth. That means the hukum of Allah on earth. And that is exactly what Imam themselves were doing. One of the most fundamental elements to realize this government is knowledge. And Imam Baqir was doing that so. Imam Baqir was focusing on spreading knowledge and also was actually, if you know, we had two editions of Sahifat al-Sajjadiyah. One edition of Sahifat al-Sajjadiyah was written by the hand of Zayd al-Shahid. Zayd al-Shahid is one of the son of Imam Sajjad, one of the brothers of Imam Baqir alayhi salam. And there is another version, another edition of Sahifat al-Sajjadiyah written by the hands of Imam Baqir alayhi salam. These two editions, there were secret books in that time. It was circulating among the close circle of Ahlul Bayt, among the close people of Ahlul Bayt. Because in this book, there is some of the part that actually talking about the Amr Allah, the Amr Ahlul Bayt, talking about, and it's actually a guiding human spirit, guiding human mind towards the realization of Allah's government on earth. One of the things that Imam Baqir was emphasizing on when he was teaching to his students, it was, do not talk about Amrana now. Do not talk about the realization of the government of Allah on earth now. This is secret. Right now, it's about the spreading of knowledge of Ahlul Bayt and spread our knowledge in a way that people start loving Ahlul Bayt. So if you see Imam Baqir alayhi salam was actually by spreading the knowledge that, and that's exactly what he calls Baqir. Baqir, Baqir al-Ulum, it's, what is our title of today? The splitter of knowledge. And that was exactly what Imam Baqir was doing. From Imam Baqir's time, we have so many riwayat that Imam Baqir himself actually asked his student, when I say something, ask what is the ayah, what is the verses of Quran related to this, what I say. So you have many riwayat when Imam Sadiq is speaking of something, someone as his student asks in his classroom, what is in Quran, what you say? What is the ayah related to what is the subject that you are talking about? And Imam Baqir coming up with the subject. Sometimes Imam Baqir himself was asking to his student, do you know about this ayah? Do you know what it means? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And the person says, in this specific riwayah, the person starts saying that مؤمنون, أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that مؤمنون will succeed. It means that they will attain paradise. They will attain eternal life in paradise. And Imam Sadiq, Imam Baqir actually didn't deny that, didn't reject this answer. But he added to it. It says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ means that مُؤْمِنِينَ هُمُ الْمُسَلِّمُونَ وَإِنَّ الْمُسَلِّمِينَ هُمُ صَلَّى عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَى مُحَمَّدْ اللَّهُ حَسَنُ وَإِنَّ الْمُسَلِّمُونَ هُمُ الْمُجَبَى. If I'm not making a mistake. That means the Muslimin, those mu'mineen, that they will succeed, they are the one that they are obedient towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, musallimun, and also they are the one that are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an example that Imam Baqir was actually trying to interpret the Quran and spread the knowledge of tafsir al-Quran, of interpreting the verses of Quran. Some of the ulama, they say if we had the chance to gather all the riwayat tafsiri, all the narrations that is about the interpretation of Quran from Imam Baqir, we will end up with 16 volumes of books. So that's how much Imam Baqir was talking about the interpretation of Quran in his time. And this is about spreading knowledge. Imam Baqir made something. He realized something about his student, that the student start become wealthy. He guided them in a way, not only about the ilm and knowledge. He also gave him the guidance in order to attain a certain amount of wealth that they started to pay the khums. Why I say this? Because there's so many rivaya that during, let's say, the last decades or the last years of the life of Imam Baqir alayhi salam, we see that people come to Imam Sadiq and start asking the question about how spending their money. In the beginning, it's like if they are in the poverty. But at the end of the life of Imam Baqir, those people, those students coming to him and asking, how should I spend money? How much is wealth? How much is haram? How much can I hold in my saving, for example, account? How should I spend this and that? So there's so many questions about wealth. Let me read one of these very interesting riwayah, which we also said in the beginning of this lecture with the salawat ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. So Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, عِندَمَا سُعْلَ عَلَى الدَّنَانِيرُ وَالدَّرَاهِمُ. There's so many people come to me and ask me about dananir wa darahim. That means the dinars and darahim. That means the money. There's so many people coming to me and asking about money. وَمَا عَلَى النَّاسِ فِيهَا. What is it inside for in this money for human being, for us, for example? And Imam Sadiq answers to this question, says, هِيَ خَوَاتِيمُ اللَّهِ فِي أَرْضِهِ. They are Allah's seals on earth. And he continues, he says, which Allah has placed for the benefit of his creatures, and their affairs and needs are managed by them. So money, my brother and sister, has a very, very holy position in the eyes of Allah. Because money, there's other narration that he says, Allah, I don't know how to translate that in the English. It's a nawamisullah. It's part of like something that Allah has lots of attention towards it. Namus. We call it in Farsi, namus. That means, sacred. Yeah, it's very sacred for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to be very careful how you are spending your money. Someone that becomes wealthy has actually more responsibility on his shoulder to how to actually spend that. And it is the responsibility on our shoulder to gain that money and not let the astray people, the unbelievers, the oppressor to get to this and basically create chaotic situation in the world. There is another, this hadith is actually a long hadith, I'm not going through, but there is another very beautiful hadith that someone comes and asks Imam Baqir alayhi salam, Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So this hadith apparently is asked to, it is an answer towards this question that how we should basically, how much we can save money and how we should basically manage our accounts. Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, Qala inna Allah, sorry, this is not the hadith. This is another hadith. But this is a beautiful hadith too. Let me read this hadith that is coming from me. قال إن الله لا يعطي الدنيا من يحب ويبغض ولا يعطي الآخرة إلا من يحب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Imam Baqir says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give dunya and akhirah to who he loves. But he will not give akhirah to those people that he doesn't love or he is basically not happy with them. There's another very beautiful riwayah about this shubha that some people says we should not go after dunya, we should not go after the world. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, "Laysa minna man taraka ad-dunya lil-akhirah wa lil-akhirah lid-dunya." That means Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, it is not from us those people that they quit dunya for their akhirah or they quit their akhirah for their dunya. You have to go for both. You have to achieve a level of understanding that you could strive for both. So this is a night of salawat. So if you recite aloud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma beautiful hadith says al-malu arba'atu alafin. So I went and I calculate how much is a dirham. Dirham, dinar was gold, was a piece of gold which was calculated basically 4 grams. Dirham is silver. So if you go and calculate the dirham, what we call it shara'i dirham. That means the dirham at the time of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Dirham, if you calculate it by today's time, it's up approximately about where I calculated each dirham comes to, if I'm not mistaken, let me tell you something else. Each 1,000 dirham comes to $500,000. This is what I remember. Each 1,000 dirham comes to $500,000, right? When Imam Sadiq says 4,000 dirham is considered as a mal, mal means wealth. It means that if you do not have close to $2 million, is not considered as wealth. What Imam Sadiq want to say this? He want to say, oh my followers, you have to go after money. You have to go after wealth. And you have to go and aim high in order to have in your bank account at least $2 million. Is it that nice? In the night of Walada, I'm giving you good news. But it brings a lot of responsibility also. You have to have the knowledge how to spend it. Look at this beautiful hadith. Imam Sadiq says, "Laysa min shi'atina man malaka 10,000 dirhamin." There is no Shia from us that if he had 10,000 dirham, calculate that. I guess it's coming to about 8 million. Illa man a'ta yameenan wa shimalan wa qudaman wa khalfan. That means there is none of our Shia that has this much of money that he will spend right and left and front and back. That means what? He has an open hand for charity. He is spending right and left for charity. How beautiful is that? Some of our mu'mineen in our community get his hand on this kind of wealth that could support many of these beautiful events that we had, for example, for Qasim, Haj Qasim, Shahid Haj Qasim Suleiman, Shahid Abu Mahdi Muhandis. And if we had this kind of resources, who can say? We might not give so much Shahid. We might, what? We might become those one that rules over the oppressors. You know, one of the things that oppressors, they have done with our culture, with our way of understanding our religion, is that you should not go after money. Money is dirty. My brother and sister, if you look at that hadith, it is not about that. What kind of money is dirty? Haram money. Haram money is dirty. Of course it's dirty. Haram money is dirty. In the time of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala.
There was someone when Prophet was in a majlis, for example, a jalasa that he had a gathering, someone stole the camel of the Prophet. In the way that he was stealing the camel of the Prophet and going, someone else understood and recognized that this is the camel of Prophet. So he went and he says, "How much is camel? I want to buy it from you." He said, "This camel, Masana, is 2 dinar. So he gave him 2 dinar, get the camel, go back to Prophet. He says, "Oh, my beloved Prophet, I found your camel that was in someone else's hand, and I found out that he was stealing it, so I bought it from him and I bring it back to you." What Prophet said, it was very nice. He says, this guy, his rizq of the day was supposed to be 2 dinar. That means it was taqdeer, it was destined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that today he gets the 2 dinar. But he made it so that he got it from the haram way. You know? Sometimes the rizq that we go after, it's our rizq. But unfortunately, some of ignorant people that they do not have enough knowledge, they start, you know, lying or, for example, you know, creating shubahat, that the mal and the wealth that they gain has become haram. So yes, this is dirty, but money is sacred. It is very holy in the eyes of Allah, in the eyes of Imam, in the eyes of Ma'sumin. And this money but must be and is right, righteous place is in the hand of mu'mineen. Because mu'mineen, they are not after a luxurious life. They are after to help what? The realization of Amrullah, the realization of government of Allah on earth. And for realizing the government of Allah on earth, of course you need money. Of course you need money. Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So there's so many rivaya. There's so many narrations that is talking about a Muslim must go after money in order to realize that position of payment of khums, that position of payment of zakat, that position to give charity and do infaq. And this is very important, that a mu'min must go after what? Planning, strategizing, managing his life in a way that he becomes a wealthy person. It's very important. So one of the very important books that we also about to write, inshallah, and it was written, this book was written, for example, we have so many books back in the time of the Imam Sadiq, for example. There was this Yunus, one of the student of Imam Sadiq, that he had a book called I don't remember the Arabic, but the translation in English was Managing Time, Time Management. There was this book that was called about Mafatihul Falah, the keys of success. And these were fiqhi books. These books was from the fuqaha, was from the students of Imam Sadiq. Where these books are right now in Hawza. And I'm telling you, this is one of the very important lack of knowledge that we have today in Hawza. We do not have access to the knowledge of managing our time based on Imam Sadiq and Imam Baqir's narrations. We do not have access to the knowledge of Ahl Bayt for managing our life, for managing our emotions, for managing our intentions. Inshallah, I will start from the next lectures that I have opportunity to come to you. We'll start talking about the book of Fiqh al-Niyyah that we have. It's about what we call it, the power within. It's about the intention. How intention is important to be managed. How you can, by managing your intention, you can achieve high level of spirituality and attain high goals and basically position in dunya and akhirah. It is very important to look at the narrations of Ahlul Bayt from a very fiqhi and academic point of view. These narrations are being said like Quran, very simple and very straightforward and clear language when it comes to translation. When you look at translation, for example, Imam Sadiq said, you have to do this. For example, you have to manage your money in a way that you gain 4,000 dinar in your saving account, right? But when you look at it from an academic point of view, you can drive so many rules and regulations based on this narration for managing your wealth. Imam Baqir alayhi salam, what he have done as a one of the most successful human being on earth was not only spreading knowledge that will increase the faith and belief of the people of his time and the people of other times, but also what he have done, he had created this foundation of knowledge and this foundation that could guide the student of him in order to become wealthy so they can pave the ground for Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is recorded that he had how many students? Do you remember? You have read probably in your books. He had in one time, that means one classroom of him, he had 4,000 students present in his classroom. For managing such a big classroom, you need money. Of course, Imam Sadiq had a student that they were wealthy and they were basically sponsoring this kind of hoza ilmiya, this kind of educative system. 4,000 students. And that's how, after that, we see that imams, they start being threatened by the government of the time, because they see that these people, that these a'imma, these ma'asumin alayhim as-salam, they are the treasure of knowledge. They are actually saying that we are the one that should be on the throne of government. We are should be the ruler. So they start treating them. They start treating them really, really badly, especially in the time of Imam. After Imam Ridha and after Imam basically Jawad, Imam Hadi, and then they start educating people about the ghiba, about the absence of Imam. So my brother and sister, I want to end my lecture with this beautiful saying of one of the ulama, Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh Amuli. May Allah bless his soul. Inshallah, we send a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad to his soul. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. It's actually very, very reflecting phrase from him that you could understand a lot of things, that what is exactly Jumhuri Islami, what is this revolution, and where is the position of this revolution in the destiny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have destined for a human being. Ayatollah Jawad Amali says the same thing, that the same way that we have a short absent and a long absent of Imam Zaman, Ajallah Ta'ala Jafaraj al-Sharif, we have a short zuhur and a long zuhur. And he says, it is not far from reality that we can call the zuhur, the coming of the revolution of Islamic Republic of Iran, the beginning of the small zuhur of our last imam. What is happening today? The Islamic Republic of Iran, this Shia government that is being guided by Velayatul Faqih, this rahbar, this wise man that can predict many things from future, that, you know, everything that he said had realized. And every time our generation is so blessed to have such a rahbar that we can listen to him at least once in a month. We have this opportunity to grow up with his lectures. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with such a wise man to educate us, to educate our generation, inshallah. The next generation also will benefit from his speech, inshallah. May Allah protect him and help him to give the flag and the standard of this revolution to Imam Mahdi Jalla Ta'ala al-Faraj al-Sharif. بالصلوات على محمد وآل محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
If you look at the position of Jamhuri Islami Iran, if you look at the position of this country, why all these country around the world, they are besieged together to go against this country? You know that there's so many enmity between America and UK. There's so many enmity between these countries themselves. But why they are united in order to go against Iran? Why they are united to go against this Shia government? Because they do understand that this government, that this Shia government is actually, by spreading the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt, is paving the ground for people to wake up and rise against oppressors. When we are spreading the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt, it means what? It means you should not drink alcohol, you should not gamble, you should not basically go after these traps that the oppressor makes money out of you, and you can live so happily with love and tranquility without going after these corruptions, corrupted entertainment. You know how much money and how much industries are being set over the production of alcohol? How much money is put in order to make the industry of, for example, gambling to run? All these sport events. So many money has been spent in order to basically entertain people and also at the same time take their money from their pockets. And so many dreams are being fed to them in order that you can become so wealthy and you can become, you know, you are a poor person, it's okay. Bill Gates also was poor. Purely lie. If you just do his research, Bill Gates actually had a mother that she was so wealthy and so connected to the government, and how he got the contract in order to bring up the window and become the owner of Windows and Microsoft. It was all by connection and the wealth of his mom. And you could look on the internet about his brother too. Wealthiest person in the charity donations and all these things. They are feeding people with the dreams and lies that it's okay, you're poor. You can one time become the richest person on earth. Go. Continue, gamble, spend money on alcohol, spend money on these harams and these entertainment that just, what? Destroying your brain, destroying your spirit. You cannot, if you look at these people in the West, they cannot focus in order to solve their own problems sometimes. If you're talking to them about one subject, It is not gonna last more than 10 or 15 minutes that they're gonna jump to the next subject, because they have not this power to focus. They are so distressed within themselves. And I'm finishing with this. One of the things that Quran is referring to, the system of Pharaoh and how he was basically controlling and dominating over the people of his time. Quran says, فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمَهُ فَعَطَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ قَوْمٌ لَفَاسِقِينَ. What is happening here? It says that one of the very important element, one of the very important foundation of Pharaoh's system, of this oppressor of time, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave his example in Quran, that he was able in order to dominate over his people, was فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمَهُ. That means debasing, And I will, inshallah, in the next opportunity that I have with you, I will talk about the fiqh al-niyyah, I will talk about the intention. It is about to making the people so small within themselves that their intention in their action becomes so small, so insignificant. Look at Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi. He went to Hawza. He did this, he did that. So many times, so many years passed, and his intention was what? To realize a government that's gonna pave the ground for reappearance of Imam. How big was his intention within himself? Now you go to someone in the West that he has been oppressed and he's been pressurized by the norm of society and the system he's living in. And you ask him, what is your most ta'ali? What is your most precious goal that you are aiming in your life? It's not, I want to have a biggest house. That's it. I want to have Mercedes. You see, فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمُهُ. The system of oppressor, what he did with this kind of people, he debased their humanity to a level that his highest hope and his highest goal and his precious goal is about attaining this car and this house and this job. Compare this to this person that he was educated within the Ahlul Bayt knowledge. You could compare Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah. You could compare Haj Qasim Soleimani, rahmatullah. You could compare Abu Mahdi Muhandis. What kind of power they have within themselves that their intention within their action was so high? How they reached those levels that they could do a very small action, but their intention is so high. Haj Qasim Soleimani in his journal, he had wrote this, that he used to call when he was in the battle. He used to call home call one of his friends and tell him to go and feed these animals that they're coming down from the mountain, because now is the winter, they're coming down, go feed them. His friend, I forgot the name's friend, it's in his book. The friend used to tell him, Haj Qasim, you're in the battle, why you are thinking about these animals? It says, animals, they do dua. By their dua and their prayers, I could win the battle here. You see the intention in his actions? These kind of people, what we call Maktab Soleimani, the school of Soleimani, these kind of people, they are being raised within the Maktab of Ahlul Bayt. You see? And what the Pharaoh does, what kind of people are being raised in his maktab, the maktab of the Western oppressors, is Elon Musk. What is your most important goal that you want to achieve? I want to go to the Mars. This is his goal. He wants to go to the Mars. Compare these goals. Compare the intention that they have in life. You will see that how the Pharaoh system had debased the people of his own system, and how the Imams and Ahlul Bayt system, they want to elevate the mustaz'afin. They want to rise the real human basically capability and capacity and talents into aiming to have access to their ultimate level. This is what Imam Baqir has established in his time, the foundation of such a ilm and knowledge that we have access today, in order to achieve the ultimate success level. And I'm just giving you what is the ultimate success that we could all achieve, my brothers and sisters. I just don't want to throw out the books that we are writing, but it's shaheed. Ultimate success that we can achieve is martyrdom. Martyrdom, it's what we should aim for. Martyrdom is the ultimate of a level of success that each one of us can attain in our life. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be able to achieve this level of success and to be among the martyrs that give their life on the feet of Imam al-Zaman, ajalallah ta'ala farajul sharif, and he takes our head like what how
her head was on the laps of Imam Hussein alayhi salam when he was giving his life for Imam Hussein. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave this opportunity to become among the best soldiers, the best companion, the best supporters of our Imam of Time, and especially his representative, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, Hafizullah, recited loud salawat ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad.